Amen and hallelujah. Welcome, everybody. We are so glad that we are able to worship together in freedom and enjoy coming together to praise our living and exalted and risen Lord. Amen. Let's open our Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 24. We'll be reading from verses 13 through 35 this morning. Luke 24, beginning with verse 13. I'll set the story for us. Jesus has been crucified and he's been buried. Spent 3 days and three nights in the tomb. On the morning of the first day of the week, some women come to the tomb to finish the burial preparations they didn't have time to do because of the coming of the Sabbath. But they find the tomb empty and the stone's been rolled away. And the women enter hesitantly in the tomb and look, and they don't see a body. But what they do see, angels saying, "He's not here. Why do you look for the living? Why do you look for the dead among the living? He's not here. He's risen just as he said. He's going on ahead of you to Galilee. Go tell his disciples." So the women hurry off. They tell the disciples. And the disciples say, "Amen, hallelujah," right? No, they do not believe. Peter runs to the tomb. He enters in. Empty. No body. He walks away, wondering what had happened. That brings us to verse 13 through 25. Let's read.
"Now that same day, two of them were walking to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them,
'What are you discussing together as you walk along?'
They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him,
'Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem that you do not know the things that have happened there in these days?' 'What things?'
he asked.
'About Jesus of Nazareth,'
they replied.
'He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. But the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what's more, it's the third day since this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see."
He said to them,
"How foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?"
And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And they approached the village in which they were going. Jesus acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly,
"Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over."
So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other,
"Were not our hearts burning within us as he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?"
They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying,
"It's true! It's true! The Lord has risen, and he's appeared to Simon."
Then the two told them what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
It's God's word for us this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are risen and that you have appeared to your people. And we ask, Lord, that you would move in our hearts today, that your life would stir within us, that your spirit would move us into gladness over your great and glorious victory over sin and death and the enemy. In your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. During Napoleon's Austrian campaign, his army advanced to within 6 miles of a little Austrian village called Feldkirch. And it looked as if Napoleon's men would take the little town without resistance. But as Napoleon's army advanced toward Feldkirch in the night, the Christians in Feldkirch gathered around in a little church to pray. The next morning at sunrise, the bells rang out across the countryside. Napoleon thought it meant that the Austrian army had moved in overnight and that the bells were ringing in jubilation at the arrival of the Austrian army. And so Napoleon ordered a retreat. And the Battle of Feldkirch never took place. But in reality, the bells were ringing because it was Easter morning. And so the bells celebrating the risen Christ caused the enemy to retreat as Feldkirch found sadness transformed into gladness. Well, how can that be? That's the question we want to ask and begin to explore this morning. How can sadness be transformed into gladness? A walk along the road to Emmaus, a little village about 7 miles from Jerusalem, answers that question for us. For the walk to Emmaus is not only a walk of sandals in the dusty road, it's a journey from sadness into gladness. The journey to Emmaus begins in sadness. We read the scripture, now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you doing, discussing together as you walk along?" And they stood still, their faces downcast. Their faces downcast. Downcast faces. Sad hearts. The journey to Emmaus begins in sadness. Sadness has various causes. All of us in this room are familiar with them. One of which is loss. The two travelers to Emmaus are followers of Jesus. They're not among the 12. They are Cleopas and one other not mentioned. Many scholars believe that other unmentioned traveler was Luke. Two travelers, followers of Jesus. Cleopas and perhaps Luke himself. And Jesus has been crucified. They've lost their master. They've lost their teacher. They've lost their friend. Loss piled upon loss. Devastating loss. How about you? What loss have you experienced? Loss of a job? Loss of a loved one? Loss of a relationship? We all know the sadness that comes from loss. Every one of us. Another cause of sadness is reversal. Have you ever experienced that? Things seem to be going forward your way, and then all of a sudden, pow, they reverse and go the other way. Maybe by a sudden event. And after the initial shock comes a period of sadness. That's what the travelers to Emmaus experienced. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." And what's more, it's the third day since all this took place. We had hoped that he was going to be the one to redeem Israel. And then came the reversal, the crucifixion. Hope reverses into despair. Anticipation collapses into despondency. The problem is with their misunderstanding of redemption. When they say we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel, they were thinking of redemption as deliverance from Roman occupation, deliverance from Roman oppression, a political revolution that would free Israel from the Roman Empire. That's what they were thinking. Christ came to bring an entirely different redemption, redemption from sin. And when Jesus died on the cross, he bore all of our sin and all of our guilt and all of our shame in our place. As Isaiah prophesied, "All we like sheep have wandered away, each of us to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, Christ, the iniquity of us all, and he bore our sin in our place, and he bought us with his shed blood. So we are redeemed, blood-bought sinners." That's the redemption Jesus came to accomplish. But Cleopas and his companion don't understand that. To them, the crucifixion is not a redemption, but a reversal. What a shocking, unexpected reversal for them. How about you? Have you ever said what Cleopas and companions said? "We had hoped. I had hoped." And what you had hoped for didn't happen. The reverse happened. You can relate to that experience. You know the sadness that comes from reversal. And then there is doubt, another cause of sadness. Doubt. Doubt comes when we walk by sight, not by faith. The scripture says we walk by faith, not by sight. But when we reverse that and we begin to walk by sight and not by faith, we lay ourselves open to doubt. We see the doubt of Cleopas and his companion in verses 22 through 24. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they've seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And some of our companions went to the tomb. They found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. What are Cleopas and his companion looking for? Sight. They're walking by sight, not by faith. Okay, we see the empty tomb, so we believe the tomb's empty, but we don't see him. We're walking by sight, not by faith. And that brings them to doubt. They're baffled. Last thing they expect is a resurrection. What does Jesus reply? He said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Jesus rebukes them for their doubt, their unbelief. When we are slow of heart to believe, because we are walking by sight and not by faith, then we have doubt. Plagued with doubt, that leads to sadness. David Hume was a famous philosopher. In fact, he was a good friend of Benjamin Franklin and vice versa. Famous philosopher, smart dude. His intellect dazzled his contemporaries. His books influenced the mind of the world. Today, every college student studying philosophy reads David Hume. I remember reading Hume's writings in college. He's influenced our world even down three centuries later. Now, Hume was an unbeliever. Complete skepticism and therefore doubt of God were the basis of his philosophy. After years of doubting, what wisdom for life did his skeptical philosophy afford him? Where did doubt lead him? Here are Hume's own words. "I'm appalled at the forlorn solitude in which I am placed by my philosophy. And I begin to fancy myself in the most deplorable condition imaginable, environed by the deepest darkness." That's the sadness to which Hume's doubt led him. So if you're sad today, I encourage you to examine yourself. Is it the sadness of doubt? Is it a slowness of heart to believe? Is it because you're walking by sight and not by faith? Then let me assure you, his promises are true, God's. His word is true because he is true. And so begin to walk by faith and not by sight. Be quick of heart to believe. Put your trust in him and believe. Walking by faith. Maybe you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe you've spent your whole life walking by sight. If I can't see it, it ain't so. But there's more to reality than what we can observe. So begin to put your trust in him. Begin to put your faith in him. Begin to walk by faith and not by sight. Put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, crucified for our sins that we might be forgiven, raised from the dead that we might have life. Well, the two men walking on the Emmaus Road do not need to doubt, and they do not need to be sad, because Jesus is risen and he's with them on the road. Nor need we doubt today, for Jesus is risen and he walks with us on life's journey. We see that loss, reversal, doubt can cause sadness. We've experienced that. We know that. But there's something better. Much better. Our sadness can be transformed into gladness. Not just replaced by gladness, but transformed into gladness. Well, how can that be? How can our sadness be transformed into gladness? It's by the power of the risen Christ. He's the one who does it. It is the risen Christ who transforms our sadness into gladness. And so this morning, if you're feeling a sadness from a loss, or sadness from a reversal, or the sadness of doubt, walking by sight, not by faith, slowness of heart to believe, then know this. There is a giver of gladness. There really is. There is a giver of gladness. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ, risen and exalted. He transforms our sadness into gladness. And it's real. It's not just a platitude. It's not just wishful thinking. It's not just pie in the sky, by and by, oh my. It's real. Real gladness. Real delight. Real joy. Deep down in the soul. That you can have it even in the midst of loss or reversal. As doubt is transformed into faith. The Good Friday service at Dampara Baptist Church in Chittagong, Bangladesh is packed for the viewing of the Jesus film. There are little children on the floor all over, sprawled out on the aisle, standing room only in the back. The people are craning their necks to see the crucifixion scene in the film. They'd never seen this before. They'd never heard about it. Weeping and gasps of unbelief can be heard in the shocked hush as Jesus is crucified on the screen. And as the Bengalis watch, and they're feeling the agony of Jesus' pain, feeling the despair of the disciples, sadness fills the hearts of everyone watching the film. And that's when a boy in the crowded church suddenly cries out, "Do not be sad! He gets up again! I saw this movie before!" "Do not be sad! He gets up again!" The risen Christ transforms our sadness into gladness. How does he do that? He does that by walking with us. He walks with us. We read this. "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he," Jesus, "explained to them," Cleopas and his companion, "what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them, walking with them, now staying with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" And they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem, and there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It's true, it's true, it's really true. The Lord's risen. He's appeared to Simon." And then the two have told. What is it, what they told? What had happened to them along the way. They told what had happened along the way as Jesus was walking with them. And how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. They told what had happened along the way. Jesus walking with them. When the two men on the Emmaus Road realized that it's the risen Christ who had been walking with them, immediately their sadness is transformed into gladness. See Cleopas and his friend dash back to Jerusalem with the breaking good news. Jesus really has risen. It's really true. He's appeared to them. See the light of new confidence in their eyes. See the radiant joy of glad men who bring superlatively glad tidings. The risen Christ has transformed their sadness into gladness. Likewise, when we realize that the risen Christ is walking with us, He turns our sadness into gladness. He's walking right beside us every day, incognito, so we don't see Him. That's why we need to walk by faith, not by sight. Let's believe that He walks with us, even though He is veiled from our sight. I love the way the Apostle Peter puts it in his first letter. Even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. You don't see Him, but you believe in Him and you're filled with joy. When the risen Christ walks with us, the desert blooms as the rose. And instead of the thorn comes the fir tree. And the oil of joy banishes mourning. And the garment of praise replaces heaviness. Hallelujah. And then Jesus also transforms sadness into gladness by opening the scriptures to us. So we read, and beginning with Moses and the prophets, He explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning Himself. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while He talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Today, the risen Christ still transforms sadness into gladness by opening the scriptures to us. If you're sad for any reason, a loss, a reversal, doubt, if you're sad, go to the scriptures. And the risen Christ will open the scriptures to you. And you'll be glad. And you'll exclaim as Jeremiah the weeping prophet exclaimed, "Your words were found, O Lord God, your words were found. And I ate them. I consumed your words. I digested your words. Your words entered into my inmost being. I ate them. And your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart." Do you need sadness transformed into gladness? Open the scriptures. Partake of them. Feed upon them. Consume them. Digest them. Chew on them. Let them enter into your inmost being. They'll become for you joy and the delight of your heart. And then Jesus transforms our sadness into gladness by opening our eyes to see Him. Not with the physical eyes of sight, but with the spiritual eyes of faith. Along the Emmaus Road, the two disciples don't recognize Jesus. We read as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus Himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing Him. And the original language in the text indicates it was God who kept them from recognizing Him. See, God still had some things to teach them in their sadness. That sadness had to linger just a little while so that they would learn something important. And God would reveal the risen Christ to them at just the right time. And that right time comes when He was at the table with them. He took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to them. And then at that time, at just the right time, God lifted that veil of non-recognition and their eyes were opened and they recognized him. That's when they recognized him. When? At supper time. You see, in the ancient Middle East, eating together was an expression of intimate fellowship. It wasn't just a meal on a table, it was the people around the table. Fellowship. And we may go through loss and reversal and doubt and wonder where Jesus is, and we experience that dark night of the soul that we all experience. But then, at just the right time, at just the right moment, the risen Christ draws near to us in intimate fellowship. And he dines with us. And he opens our eyes of faith to see him. And we realize that the Jesus whom we thought was absent was really only hidden. We thought he was absent, but he was with us all along, just hidden, walking with us with the journey all along. And that's when he transforms our sadness into gladness. At just the right moment. Fanny Crosby was a great American hymn writer. She wrote over 8,000 hymns, including "To God Be the Glory." What else, Howells, does it go? "Great Things He Has Done." Fanny Crosby wrote that. Now, Fanny Crosby was blind. We might think that to be sad. And she could have spent her life wandering around, wallowing in sadness and self-pity. Woe is me, I'm blind. Been blind since I was 4 years old. But you don't see any of that in her hymns. Her hymns are filled with joy. Her hymns sparkle with gladness. In fact, she was known among her friends for her positive, glad attitude toward life. No one ever heard her complain about the darkness of her days. What was the secret of her glad spirit? She was totally blind from childhood. Well, a friend in England asked that same question and then answered it in this poem about Fanny Crosby. "Sweet blind singer across the sea, tuneful and jubilant, how can it be that songs of gladness which float so far as if they fell from the evening star are the notes of one who will never see visible music of flowers and trees?" How can she sing in the dark like this? What is her fountain of light and bliss? Her heart can see. Her heart can see. Oh, may long she sing so joyously, for the Lord himself in his tender grace hath shown her the brightness of his face. Her eyes could not see, but her heart could see. The risen Christ opened Fanny Crosby's spiritual eyes of faith so that she could recognize his presence with her. And that was the secret of her gladness. And that can be the secret of our gladness too. And so it is that this morning we've walked along the Emmaus Road. And we've seen how the risen Christ can transform our sadness into gladness. And so if there's sadness in your heart this morning, you came to church because it's Easter morning and that's what's done, but there's sadness in your heart, I encourage you to walk with the risen Christ. Begin walking by faith. He can turn your sadness into gladness because he's just as real and just as living and just as loving and just as risen as he was along that Emmaus Road 2,000 years ago. And as the risen Christ walks with us and opens the scriptures to us and opens our spiritual eyes of faith to recognize him with us, he transforms our sadness into gladness. He turns the sadness of loss into the gladness of comfort. He transforms the sadness of reversal into the gladness of renewal. He morphs the sadness of limping doubt into the gladness of leaping faith. Then we rejoice with the psalmist and sing. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I give you thanks forever. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. There may be some here this morning who are walking by sight and not by faith. You've never, ever put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you've seen this morning how He can transform your life. How He died for your sins and rose from the grave to give you forgiveness and life. And you realize how much you need Him. Maybe, on the other hand, you have already put your faith in Christ. But over time, you've begun to lower your eyes of your heart and walk by sight and not by faith. And you've begun to wander from Him like a wandering sheep. And the Spirit of God is tugging at your heart right now and saying, come back home. Come back home. Maybe you're like the prodigal son, wandered away to go live high on the hog and ended up eating with the hogs. And you see how glad your life could be if only you returned. It's time to come home. If I've just described you, you've never ever put your faith in Jesus Christ, or you have, but you wandered away, it's time to come home. Time to put your faith and trust in Him. Pray with me in the privacy yet sincerity of your heart. Lord Jesus Christ, I know that I have sinned. I've been like a wandering sheep. But you've taken my sin on the cross. Lord, I feel like I've been dead inside. But you rose again to give me life. And so I put my faith in you, Lord Jesus Christ. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I put my faith in you. Come into my heart. Transform my heart into a heart that is joyful in you. Lord, I've wandered away. You seem so far away, but it's not you who's moved, it's I who's moved, and now I want to return. And enjoy once again the gladness of heart that you can give. So Lord, I come to you, I come home. I stop walking by sight, I begin walking by faith, and I come home. Thank you for receiving me, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much. Teach me to follow you by faith all the days of my life until I see you face to face in your kingdom. In your name, Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Now every head bowed, every eye closed still. If you just prayed that prayer in the sincerity of your heart, I would like to pray for you. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and then slip it back down. I'm not going to ask you to come forward or do anything else. Just raise your hand and then slip it back down if you prayed that prayer. I see those two hands over there. Yes. Right there. Yes, yes. I see the one there. Yes. Any others? Yes, another. Any other hands? If you prayed that prayer, several have raised their hands. Let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you for these who've come home to you, wandering away and yet now have come home by faith in Christ. either putting their faith and trust in Christ, never having done so before, or having done so before, yet having wandered away, are now returning. I pray for your blessing upon their life. I pray for your encouragement in their hearts. I pray that you would transform sadness into gladness. I pray, Lord, that they would begin to walk by faith and not by sight, and enjoy your presence as you walk with them along the road. In your name, Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.